Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Why is it that we have to have a conversation about maintaining our infrastructure? Like when you build a road, you know it's going to deteriorate. You build a bridge, the engineers will tell you up front what the serviceable life of that bridge will be. And they even have fun graphs that show the downward curve of the bridge's reliability over time.
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Hey, welcome to the show. And here in season 13, celebrating so many different fun stories. I've been lately having quite a few of you contact me as I've been out in conferences and things in person saying, hey, I'm listening to the show. It's great to meet you in person. And so love it when you're able to come up and say hi. Please don't hesitate to do that. You can always find out where we're going to be on our website, letsgrowleaders.com. We've got a calendar there that shows you all the places we're out and about. And also, just a month ago, we, as I'm recording in real time, Karen and I submitted the manuscript for our next book to HarperCollins. It's called Powerful Phrases for Dealing with Workplace Conflict. So that's going to be coming out in May of 2024, and very excited about that. And also want to preview a new opportunity that I'm going to have. If you've ever wondered, gosh, you know, could I spend some time and ask David specific questions? I wish I could just, you know, get some of my specific leadership challenges solved. In a little while, I'm not going to tell you any more details today right now, but in a little while, we're going to be unveiling a program that allow you to do exactly that. And in a really small group and be able to have some specific one-on-one time to get some of those questions answered. And learn from other managers along the way as well. So more about that in future episodes. But if you've ever wondered, gosh, I wish I could do that, the opportunity's coming. All right. So today, what are we talking about? Start with that introduction about why we have to have conversations about maintaining things. And, you know, I was thinking about a couple of years ago, this was, if you're listening in real time, yeah, just a couple of years ago, the political leaders in the United States were negotiating, and that might be a generous characterization, but they were negotiating a large infrastructure bill. And if I'm generalizing, one side took the position that infrastructure includes things like roads, bridges, ports, transit systems, the electric grid, so on. And the other position took a broader approach and included items like healthcare, technology, job training, scientific research, and so on in their definition of infrastructure. And yeah, if you were paying attention to all that, there's much more nuance in the arguments from both perspectives. But what's important here is that there's even a discussion about infrastructure. Both parties agreed they needed to invest in infrastructure. The questions aren't if, they're what, where, and how much. My question, the question I want you to pay attention to as a leader is why? Why did and why do we need to have conversations about maintaining things? So like I said, when you build a road, you know it's going to deteriorate. There's going to be a replacement cost. Same with bridges. It's not a surprise. Not in the way that, like, societally the need for new internet access grew over the past 20 years. That kind of crept up. And it's like, okay, we weren't planning for this, but it's going to need to happen. And once it's done, yes, it's going to need to be maintained. So why aren't those costs planned for and incorporated as a normal, regular part of our civic business? And what does that have to do with you as a leader? Well, the short answer to the question is we just don't value maintenance. And I mean culturally, yes, absolutely. I recognize there are many individual citizens, towns and states, countries that do a wonderful job planning and maintaining their infrastructure. I'm speaking culturally. And in the United States, where I'm recording, where I live, we emphasize the new, the forward. And we don't put a lot of focus, energy, or value in keeping things going, alive, healthy, and whole. It's that continual forward focus is a problem when we look at deteriorating infrastructure. It's a problem for our budgeting when we save for the house or a car, but we don't plan for the maintenance costs of those things. And so looking for the new at the cost of maintenance is also a problem for us in leadership and in relationships. There's a cultural negativity associated with maintaining. I mean, you can even think about the language. If we say, hey, you're just maintaining, you're confessing to underperforming, being a slacker, treading water, going nowhere. Our maintenance workers are arguably some of the most vital people to continue our way of life and the comforts that we take for granted, but maintenance workers don't get a cultural spotlight. Those jobs aren't portrayed as shiny and meaningful in popular culture because they don't uncover, explore, or discover what's new. And yeah, you know, it's a natural part of our brain. We like the shiny, we like the new, the things that grab our attention. It's kind of how we're wired. But that can have a really damaging impact on us as leaders if we're not careful about it. And early in my career, I worked for a human service organization whose leader had a strong disdain for maintenance, like actively disliked it. Maintaining didn't feel like building the future. And he'd frame our work in terms of like warfare. You don't see soldiers storming the beaches at Normandy, stopping and taking care of the injured. And he told me that one time. He said, neither can we. We've got to take ground and keep moving forward. And for me, I cringe when I replay those words. His values and vision focused entirely on the new and shiny at the cost of caring for the organization that he'd built and the people who were part of it. And you can imagine the culture of chaos that ensues when you're focused only on the new. And maintenance, in his view, wouldn't build the future. And yet, maintaining gets us to the future. So side note here, I love baking bread, like the slow, natural, artisan way. Feed and maintain a starter, that flour, water, yeast, and bacteria, and let it sit till it triples in size. Mix it with flour, water, a little salt. Give it time. Knead it, fold it over the course of 3 or 4 hours. You feel the dough come together, and the yeast multiplies, and proteins in the flour align and connect. And then you shape the dough a final time, put it in a proofing basket, and give it even more time, sometimes overnight, in the refrigerator before you bake it. And while it bakes, the aroma tempts you. It's so tempting. You want to cut into that freshly baked loaf. But even then, you're better to wait a little longer and let the interior cool down and develop all the way. There's so much maintenance in this bread. You got to maintain the starter. You have to feed it regularly. The dough is tended and maintained. The bread itself feeds, nurtures, and maintains me, my family, and friends. So cooking for family and friends brings me joy, and it is maintenance. Literal life and connection and joy and energy in fueling and caring for one another. You maintain a friendship by investing in it. You maintain a car with regular service. You maintain your culture of your team through regularly paying attention, investing in it. Maintain your health, maintain your relationships. So these acts of maintenance get you to the future in a healthy way so that you can do something meaningful. So when we're talking about leadership, what are the acts of maintenance for your team? You know, when we talk about 5x5 communication here at Let's Grow Leaders, 5x5, that if it's critically important to your team's success, critical messages, we need to communicate them no less than 5 times, different times, and 5 different ways using different communication channels and methods. Why? To help people internalize and to help maintain those messages. So what are the critical outcomes? What does success look like for your team? When was the last time you talked about it? If you're not reinforcing and maintaining those commitments at the minimum every couple of weeks, they'll deteriorate. Same thing for your values. Same thing for your conflict conversations and your accountability. Are you having those conversations in a meaningful way? Same thing for rest and play and all of those elements of what it means for your team to succeed. Part of your job as an effective leader is to pay attention to maintenance. What does it look like to maintain your team's health and those ongoing regular activities? Nope, they're not as shiny, not as exciting, but they get you to the future where you can do those shiny, meaningful new things. Because life isn't only maintenance. This is like a yin-yang kind of energy here. There's that integration at work. If you build your body's strengths, you need the energy of movement and recovery. You need to run and rest. If one without the other is either going to lead to illness or injury, and maintenance is the same way. And a last word here. If you are one of those yang-filled, high-energy explorer, builder, creator type of leaders who still find maintenance challenging, I'm going to leave you with a thought from the Jason Bourne series, not the movies, the books. Robert Ludlum is the author. And there's this quote that his character, Jason Bourne, is constantly remembering. Sleep is a weapon. So even if you do need to be thinking about moving forward, exploring, building, creating that new, the shiny, sleep and maintenance are going to help you get there and be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.